that we can come to the house of God and to praise and worship our Savior. Our message today is God is our anchor in the storm. God is our anchor in the storm. It blows my mind that not knowing what folk are going through, but giving them the opportunity to speak on their particular situation and how God is a part of that situation, if it's just worth keeping them calm in the storm. As we think about storms, nobody like to be caught in a storm, but they come anyway. Psalms 46, verse 1-3 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and trouble, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Now, this is a picture of earth that we live on that should be stable. But we know when earthquakes happen, nothing in the range of that earthquake is safe. Everything is shaking. And I like what the psalmist is saying, because God is my refuge and God is my stability, though everything around me is falling apart and everything around me is shaking, I'm still strong. And knowing that the Bible is God's love letter written to his people, that we can get an understanding about the events and the things that is happening and the storms in your personal life and in our general life, all the going on in life that we don't fully understand, God wants us to know that he's our refuge. You see, God didn't say he is going to stop everything from happening. We got to realize that these things going to run its course. It started in Genesis when Adam sinned and the curse took place on this earth, until God decided it's all over and then there's a new heaven and a new earth. Then we don't have to wait. We don't have to worry about the unstableness. But as long as we are waiting for the ultimate redemption, then you're going to have storms. And I like this. God says that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And it's something that the just must understand. Just because you are saved, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have no trouble. And anybody tell you that, they are just lying to you. And we're living in a time we don't need folk lying to us, and especially not lying to us about the truth. Thy word is the truth. So we got troubles. We got a cursed world, and it's going to run its course until God says over. See, it ain't over until God says over. So you need to know that these storms going to happen. The earth going to shake. The floods and the tsunamis going to take place. Though they happen, you need to know something else. Not just about the unsettledness of this earth and your situation, but you also need to know you got a God that haven't moved yet. You got a God that there's nothing can make him unstable. So if you're going to trust somebody, you want to trust somebody who have a reputation of stability. You don't want to trust somebody you can't count on. And you definitely don't want to trust somebody you can't count on when I really, 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 truly need you. And if we ever need the Lord, we need him now. But I need to know, not whether he's your refuge, your strength. I need to know he's my strength, my refuge. And predicated on that truth of knowing that I know that I know, only then will I have the enablement to carry on. Storm. Now, storms are sometimes caused by sinful behavior. Sometimes God can warn you and you just keep on sinning, 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 and it can cause some storms in your life. It can cause you some jail time. It can cause you to lose your families. Sometimes the storms are caused by sinful behavior. But sometimes the storms are caused by bad decisions. Sometimes we do things, we make a decision, and it was a bad decision. And sometimes, even now we say, something told me I shouldn't have done that. And the folk who are spiritual, we don't say something. We say the Holy Spirit told me I shouldn't have done it, but I done it anyway. I didn't feel good, but I thought it would work. Anybody been there? Huh? And it ended up causing a storm in your life. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, bad decisions are bad decisions. And the consequence of those bad decisions will come to you whether you're saved or unsaved. Not only that, sometimes they are caused by evildoers. Sometimes the storm of your life is caused by somebody else who's just evil. How many know that we have some evil people in this life? I mean evil. You can nickname it, you can call it whatever you want to call it, until you come across an evil person. Don't you know there are people still possessed with demons? Demon possession is still true. Anybody believe that? Anybody in the house believe that? Anybody here don't believe that? Let me see your hand. Okay, so that means everybody believes it. Storms are sometimes caused by satanic oppression. Sometimes storms in our lives are directly caused by Satan. Directly caused by Satan. Now, you can see that with Job, can't you? That how in Job's life, his storm came directly from Satan. But that too was God's business. Now, the question is, we see storms and why we experience storms, but how do we prepare for the storms? One of the things we must be certain about our relationship with Jesus. If you're going to prepare for the storms in this life, you gotta make sure that you receive the true gospel, not another gospel, and you are truly born again. Because when you are born again, and we see that in John 1:12, as many as received Christ, unto them he gave the power or the authority to be the children of God. Understand your relationship with God. It is a child and father relationship. You are in the family. And I like this because you can see it over in Hebrews chapter 12 when God compares himself as a heavenly father to an earthly father. And in that comparison to the earthly father and the heavenly father is telling you that my relationship with my children is far greater than even your earthly father's relationship. My relationship with my children is even better than a relationship with an earthly father. Doesn't matter how good that father is. It's just that God is a whole lot better. Now you know that's something when you got a good father and you know he'll give his life for his children. And yet God says, you know what? We really don't know what you will do unless it happens. But you already know I've already given my son's life on Calvary's cross. So storms gonna come our way, but we need to be prepared for it. Also, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13, you know, when God says, sorrow not as those who have no hope. Now, a lot of times when we're dealing with funerals and different things, we're talking about different things and salvation, we'll use that, which that's good. But also what the Holy Spirit have revealed to us, it is indeed people on earth who is going through storms with no hope. No matter what you name the storm, there are folk, there are groups of people that the Holy Spirit said that have no hope. But when your relationship is sure and you know that you're a child of God, you should know then that you got hope. You are not those who have no hope. And even when you read that chapter, God began to show you that it upsets me. See, this is the language of rebuke, encouragement, but yet rebuke. Don't you dare sorrow like those who have no hope. Now watch this. Death was before the Thessalonians. The sorrow was because of death. And death can be a storm, right? But God is saying your relationship is so that you still got hope no matter how the rain pour, no matter how the earth shakes. No matter how the swelling of the great waters and the tsunamis coming to shore, destroying things, you can stand because you have strength that you know not of. Your strength is in Jesus. Your refuge is in Jesus. Your hope is in Jesus. So no matter what source brings your storm, you got a source of comfort, a source of strength. Now what happens sometimes? Because we don't use it, We may or experience it as we should. We may make other saints feel that they don't have it. You follow what I'm saying? You see, when you go to comfort somebody, who do you bring to the table? You ought to bring Jesus to that table or that situation. Huh? Am I right about it? And it's nothing like bringing Jesus to the table and you have already experienced his deliverance. Don't tell me about somebody you don't know or you're not even sure of your relationship with him. See, you really can't tell the story as it should be told if you don't know him. You ever heard people trying to talk about some people to you that you really know, and they really don't know them? And the way they are talking to you as if they know them, and the things they're saying about that person, and they may not know you know you really know that person, and you listening and you hearing all that stuff, and you like they don't even know what they're talking about because they don't know that person. What do we do? When do we run to our refuge? When have you ever used the strength that's available to you? Do it work? You see, because our hope is an eternal hope, because you get wet here on earth, the sunshine going to be in glory. See, it ain't all about this time. This time, we are here to be witnesses. This time, we are here to be the light of the world. But watch this now. The salt of the earth. But if I spend my time, and I call this the parenthesis for us, because we're going to glory when we're out of here. But if I spend all of my time worrying about this time, this temporal time, all of my time here, I'm worrying about what I get, what I don't get, what's happening here, I'm going to be useless to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God is not trying to have me to straighten up a dying world that's heading to destruction. He's trying to help to tell me to help get folk right to get off the sinking ship. But let me move on. Storms, man, they come and they can buckle your knees. They can put you in. One thing about it, though, but it lets you know, are you serious about the Lord? When you say you're saved and you go, where are you going to run to? It amazes me, folk that tell me they're serious about the Lord, they get in a little trouble, they run from church. I don't understand that. I don't understand. If you understand that, when I come down, you come and explain that to me. But when you explain it, listen to what I said before you come and explain it. What I said was, those who tell me they're serious about the Lord. See, I didn't say, though, well, they just, no, I didn't say that. I said those who say they're serious about the Lord. See, because where's your refuge? Where do you run to get out of the rain of stress? Financial problems, marital problems, health problems. It blessed my heart when I heard my dear sister say she was down sick, and as soon as I can get some strength, I'm coming to the house of the Lord. Did you guys hear that? I mean, I'm not looking for any excuse. I'm sick so I can lay here, but I want to get a little bit of strength that I can stand again. I can walk again. I think if I kept talking, I think she would try to run, and I didn't want that to happen. But what I'm saying is, it proved my point. There was a storm in her yesterday. And she understand, even though this storm of sickness have come upon me, there's a place that I can go for sweet relief. There's a place I can hear songs say, trouble will be in my way sometime. There's a place I can go where reality says that sometimes with that trouble and storms, I gotta cry sometime. But yet, there's a place where the word of God stands strong and will say to me that God is my refuge and God is my strength. So when I heard that God is my strength, it was God who strengthened my legs to get out of that bed. It was God who strengthened my mind to not go elsewhere, but come to the house of the Lord. And with my reading and journaling, I know I'm going to get the preaching from the man of God more about my God. Storms is in your house. My house, everybody's house. And if it hasn't reached yours yet, just keep living. But storms come as you may. See, even a storm is not stable. Sometimes it break up before the weatherman says it's going to do all of this, and sometimes it'll break up out at sea. Never hit land. But I serve somebody that's more than stable. See, we like to say more than able. You see, I say he's more than stable because I want to ask over here, who can move God? Who can move God? Is there a bulldozer? Huh? Backhoe, anything strong enough to move God? And what God is saying, don't depend on your strength. Your strength and my strength will fail you, brother. Man, my strength been gone. Long time. Sometimes I look at myself, how you do what you do and been doing it for so long? Yeah, good question, self. It's God. Is more so God in my weakness than in my strength. Because now I have nothing but God to lean on. And he's been real. He is real. And he'll always be real. He's my refuge and my strength. Yeah, yeah. You may didn't bring your storm, but it's doing the damage anyway. Some of us may have brought our own storms, but I thank God for forgiveness. You see, if I brought it myself, David brought his own storms. Nathan told him that, didn't he? That was you, David. You did it. But oh, go back and read Psalms 51. Huh? So even if you brought it upon yourself, we serve a God that's a forgiving God. And what I like about the forgiving God, he will tell his children, just as I have forgiven you, you forgive your brother. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you, when he hit you with that one, how dare you? With all I've forgiven you from. And now I gotta forgive you for not doing what I told you to do. Don't you know, even when we disobey God, when the Holy Spirit convicts our heart or move us to say, now you know you need to deal with that. You know, now I know you want to do a whole lot of things and shove that under the rug, but you need to deal with that. I'm not gonna deal with that, Holy Spirit, because I don't want to. And I want all the blessings too. And I know I got eternal security. You see, you and I don't know about that suffering loss. Oh, yeah, if you truly saved, you don't lose your salvation. But you don't know how powerful. You don't know how damaging it is. See, if God called it a loss, baby, you better believe it in no uncertain terms. It is a loss. I'd rather not experience a loss that I don't have to experience when God told me you will suffer loss. So you don't want a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. See, I'm not sending no timber up because it's going to be tried by the fire. And if I know if I keep putting my timber up, and I'm not trying to build nothing up there neither, huh? Not trying to frame nothing with the timber, right? Because I got a house that's not built. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You know, but I understand. I'm not putting nobody down. I understand them sayings. And I'm not trying to put anybody down. But I tell you what, as we grow, we need to change some of them. That's all I'm saying. But I'm not, because when it started, the knowledge level may not be where yours at. When it started way, 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 way back there, some people couldn't even read back then. You know, you don't know when it started, but we picked it up. But as your level grow, huh? And don't dare put anybody down. If somebody says, I'm not gonna put you down, nah. And I hate them people, man, just shut up. First of all, you don't even know their level. You don't know who's been teaching them. Case in point. I remember a few years ago, I decided in the latest class or something, I said I was going to come in there and teach on tongues. So when we get to that, I'm going to come and teach that. Way back. And I remember this very highly educated person and been in the law and the things up for a long time. And I went through it. That part, and I said, I'm coming out after that, but that when you get that part, I'm going to teach that. Then I'm on. They followed me all the way to my office. They wanted to see my literature. They wanted to see, and I was glad because they moved from the class to one-on-one. And they wanted to know all this, you know. And so we sat down and we went through it. But here was the conclusion. They were serious. This person was serious because some things they hadn't heard. And they was in church probably before I was. But they said this. Oh, I believe I know what it was. The people who taught us didn't know. That's what she told me. She said, I got it. I said, I'll show you everything. I said, now, if you go in and find something different, whatever like that, but this person, very analytical, very sharp, smart. I mean, super smart. And she got it. She walked away. But part of her was like, I've been setting none of this stuff. And see, this is my religious side, not my professional side. But I thank God, because if people ask you about that hope, you should be able to tell them as you grow. Now, what happens if you don't care about growing? You won't grow. You won't put yourself in a position that you can. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So if you don't put yourself in a position, you may be comfortable where you are. But the danger is the group that hang with you may ask you questions that you should be able to answer, but you can't because you didn't apply yourself to the word of God. Am I right about it? And I may never be there because she was challenging me. Okay? And she said, I want to see all your lists. I said, come on, sit in here. I'll show you all of it. And I'll tell you what, you explain it to me after I show it to you. But anyway, it worked out good. So there's a lot to the things of God. But learn as much as you can about the Lord. I got to go now. Y'all ain't going to hold me up no more. See, when I get y'all, I just try to teach a little bit. That's all. I'm sorry. Is that wrong? Okay. How many points did I get to? I think I got three here, so I need to move on. Okay. So we see while we experience storms, how do we prepare for storms? That's where we were. And I was saying that. Be certain about your relationship, okay? And we must be convinced of the power of the Word of God. See, that's another thing. And sometimes we forget that when we're talking to people. See, sometimes when you talk about the Word, you talk with conviction. Boom, the Scripture says, boom, boom. But if another person is not convinced, you also convinced of the power of the Word of God. But the recipient may not be convinced of the power of the Word of God. So we got a problem. Because if you're not convinced of the power of the Word of God, you're not going to seek the Word of God to change your situation. You see, I cannot counsel anybody. I cannot do that. I cannot do pre or post-marital counseling or if you're sick or whatever if you're not convinced that the Word of God is powerful. Because that's all I'm going to use is the Word of God. And then a saved person, and the Word of God says so much about everything. Wisdom, principles, eternal life, redemption. And I'm not convinced of its power, you're going to be in trouble, and some storms will never clear up because you will not let the Word of God clear that storm up for you. Because you're not convinced of the power of the book. You know, sometimes we take it for granted just because you are convinced, you believe that your students are convinced. But I tell you what, it's nothing like talking to two people, and you don't have to agree, but one thing you do agree on, we are all convinced of the power of the Word of God. Am I right about it? James says, consider if pure joy, my brethren, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, patience, must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Here's something else that we don't pick up. God is taking a baby Christian to mature. There are some things in your storm you can handle if you are mature. You follow what I'm saying? It's just like Brother Emmanuel, you say you were thinking about going off in that Nat Turner. Didn't you say that? I heard you. But you say you didn't do that. I also heard maturity. Come on, somebody. You see, Tracy? See, same point, I'm home. Now, you take a person that was not that mature in the Lord, they would have went off. And that's why you have a lot of on-the-job shooting. Come back with the, am I right about it? But what I'm saying is, the Word of God, I should listen at the Word of God as though it's right out of the mouth of God, because that's what it is. Okay, let me move on. I'll just give you a few things. Not only that, we must make intercessory prayers a priority. So we need to pray for other people, and because God has a way of changing situations, and it's through prayer.
We must experience the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, he's the counselor. He's the comforter. He is the teacher. And my next point is, how can we benefit from the storm? Man, what is a storm good for? You would say absolutely nothing. The storm will make us more compassionate. You see, some people will be non-tolerant when it comes to somebody else or somebody else's children. You know, because you've never been through nothing. And they'll say you need to do this and blah, 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 and all of that. But wait a minute. The next minute is your children, is your house. And all of a sudden, the things you said that that person should do with their children, whether they're grown children or what, put them out, do this, you should do this, you should do this. But all of a sudden now, when it's your children, you're not doing any of those things that you suggest that the other person should do. You see, there was no connection. There was no heartstring connection with somebody else's child. There was no compassion. But when it happened to you, not only were you compassionate on your child, but you wanted others to be compassionate also. So a storm will change your attitude. Huh? See, some people talk that yang yang because you never been there. What I would do, you don't know what you would do until you get in this situation. Talking about what you would do. How you know what you would do? Do you know all the facts? Do you know the mindset of the people? How do you really know what you would do? You've never been there. That's guesswork. But not only that, storms will help us grow spiritually. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." Our firmness, our steadfastness, it's all in the Lord. There's no outside strength for us. There's no stability for us in the storm. It's all in our refuge, and the Lord is our refuge. My next point, final point, what is God's role in the storms of life? In Psalms 46, the last two verses says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among my own people, my own nation." But not only that, I would be exalted in the earth. The rest of the world would know I am God all by myself. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Stop, Selah. Stop and meditate on that. Last point, what is God's role? God is our protector. Isaiah 41:10, God is our protector. 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. I want you to see this. God is saying, I don't want you to be terrified with the storm. Now, a question will arise from that. I'm in a storm and you're telling me not to be terrified, and I'm in the storm. What is it that should help me from being terrified? He says, I will strengthen you. Are you with me? He says, without my strength, you got every right to be terrified. So sometimes I think in looking at the word of God and knowing how powerful God's word is, when I am terrified, I need to say, God, strengthen me. Strengthen me because I'm heading to be terrified, or I am terrified. And I see in your word that you say I don't have to fear. All right? And the reason for that, you're going to do something. You're going to give me your strength. See, he makes it personal. He says, I will. Huh? See, it ain't about you strengthening yourself. Too many people are telling people, pick yourself up. You need to do this. And they are fearful. They are terrified. Why you never give me this one? Huh? He said, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. See, there are some things you and I can't do without God's help. And you remember we said how powerful God's word is? So when I know God's word, I know God's promises, I can claim them. I can say, God, you don't want me to fear, but I am. But I understand in your word the reason that this person was not to fear, they was to trust your strength and to trust your help in the storm. Now, if I don't get your help, I'm a fear. If I don't get your strength, I'm a fear. If you don't do it, I'm going to do what you don't want me to do. Anybody see it? Fear not. Why? I'm in a storm, God. And you telling me don't fear. I didn't fear until the storm arose. Till the earth began to shake under my feet. Okay, I'm going to let you off the hook. For I am with you. Who said that? The word of God said it. Well, this comes back to my point. If you're not convinced of the power of the word of God, this don't mean nothing. Because the very thing you are reading to give you your strength and your confidence and take away your fear, you don't believe that it's the source of God's power. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your help. I will strengthen you. So you know what this telling me? God, you understand that I get weak sometimes. See, it wouldn't be no need for God strengthening us if you didn't get weak in the first place. Come on, somebody. All you folks who strong all the time, well, you don't need this verse. Never face a storm, you don't need this. If you talk to me, I say, you just don't need it. I do. I mean, no, I'm not going to argue with you. No, you just, brother, you good. Sister, you good. You don't need it. You don't never need no strengthening. And all around you, the family, everybody caving in. And I wonder, is it you don't need no strengthening? Is it all that faith in the Lord? Or is it that you really just not concerned or compassionate? Remember, a lot of times we're not that compassionate for somebody else, but till it hit us. So I don't know what I'm looking at, but I see. And I need to know this, because when I go to God, it's okay, God, I need this verse, and I need it now. Okay. And I will uphold you with my right hand. So you see, that's the hand of power. All of, he powerful in both hands. That makes no difference. But there's another word, uphold. That has the idea to me that you're falling, or that you're slipping. And see, sometimes you don't fall or slip until the storm arises, until the earth begin to move, the flood waters begin to rise in your situation. All of a sudden, I didn't need this upholding. For a long time, I didn't need this strength. But a day have arrived that I need to be upheld. I need to feel the strength of his right arm. Lord, just don't tell me about it. Help me to feel and to know that you have arrived. See, I got need to know now, because I'm in the storm. You know how some folks say need to know basis. God is good. So I want to come off now and just realize that God will be your strength, and he'll be your refuge in your storm.